something. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That statement alone evokes expectation. Let me show you something. And I'm finding more and more how relevant that is for us in this season. And I believe it's relevant for you in this season. God has a covenant with his people. He doesn't do anything except he reveals it to his prophets first, reveals it to the people of God in order to bring them into a place of alignment with him, to give opportunity for them to be in the right place at the right time. Say right place, right time. I just want to speak to you a few moments and then we're going to worship in our giving. I found myself spending some time praying and meditating on the word that the Lord gave us through Pastor Sandra Sosa. And just give me a moment to find it here because I want to refer to. Anybody got a printed copy of it, like just handy right now? Anybody? That's okay. Just hold on. I don't want anybody scurrying. I just thought if you did, but just give me a moment here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I shared about a couple weeks ago that I've learned to not only hear a word, but pray into the word, discerning what is the Lord. Sometimes what you're hearing isn't the Lord. Sometimes it's mixture and you gotta eat the meat and spit out the bones. You have to be able to discern. Thank you. And Pastor Deborah, I want us to, over this next week, get this word that's brought to our house in a form on a small kind of handout piece that can be given out on a regular basis. You need to have this before you because this is a word for our house, and it's a word for you individually if you receive it as such. Thank you, Jesus. But I want to speak to one particular part of the word. There's five different parts that are shared. The one that spoke to me more recently in my time of prayer and preparation, is the year of new. Say the year of new. And this is what it says. It says there are new things that are about to happen to you. There are new things that are about to happen to you, things that I have prepared to bless you and bless many through you. When God is speaking a word like that, what he's really saying is get ready. He's saying get ready. And new things are about to happen to you, things that I have prepared to bless you and to bless many through you. In my reading of this word, it reminded me of Isaiah chapter 40, let's see. Where it says this, verse 18, forget about what's happened. This is the Message Bible. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert, be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? Then he says, this is it. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers in the badlands. Wild animals will say thank you, and the coyotes and buzzards, because I provided water in the desert. There's water again. Rivers through the sun-baked earth, drinking water for the people I chose, the people I made especially for myself, people, a people custom made to praise me. Forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert. Be present. Be present. Say, be in the now. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? He's saying, can you see it? I'm showing you something here. In the prophetic word we received, it went on and said this: this will be a time of unexpected things for you that will make you raised to another level of authority and anointing. This will be a very intense year in the action of heaven on your life. Where many repents will happen to you. Now, let me just pause and say this. Pastor Sandra is an incredible prophet. Sometimes she's trying to figure out how to say it in English, and she gets George to interpret for her. And when I was reading this, and I kept reading where many repents will happen to you, what I kept in my mind trying to figure out was, is there another word that should be there? But then I felt the Lord said no. No. Many repents. Many changes. Many times of repenting. Y'all with me? Will happen to you. Why? Because if you're going to walk in this year of seeing and believing, you're going to have a posture of repentance. And I found myself grappling with that, because you're just thinking, okay, is there another word? Is that, you know? And then I thought, no, we're going to leave it right there. Sometimes we edit stuff, and we edit right out what God was really trying to say. That's why you got to be careful with commentaries and those kind of things, because even with the Message Bible, it's not a translation, it's a commentary. You understand that, don't you? It's not a translation, it's a commentary. So some of the stuff you read, and you're like, that don't make sense. You know, I don't know what they were thinking when they wrote that. But when I read this, I felt that in the spirit, it was a word for us saying, Jamal, come, I need your help. I lost this, man. It timed out or something. Nice screensaver, man, but give me back what I had. In this year of seeing and believing, you will have many opportunities to repent. What do I mean? Change. Change your mind. Change the way you think. But the challenge is going to be is you're going to have to do it quickly. Say quickly. Yeah, you're going to have to do it quickly. We're going to have to do it quickly. And I don't mind telling you, I've already come into this year, and I'm having to change my mind quickly. I'm having to adjust quickly. There's things that I've got to get in place quickly. And as God shows you those things, part of what he's showing you, let me show you something, is to help you position yourself for what he wants to do in us and through us. That's the word that I'm talking about here, where it says, new things are about to happen to you, things that I have prepared to bless you and to bless many through you. Going back to Abraham, bless many through you. But when it says here, there will be many repents will happen to you, you and I will have to go through seasons of God showing us something. And when he shows us it, listen, you ain't got a whole lot of time to kind of grapple with it. If it's God, you need to just see it, receive it, believe it for what it is. Let me just give you a quick example. And I was reading through this last night. You know, the thing about Peter is, as much as he messed up, God just kept him right on point to do what he said he would do through him. Remember when Peter, when Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I am? And they said different things. And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he says, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. And he goes on and says, upon this word, I will build my church. And here's the thing. With Peter, he was the kind of guy that sometimes he got it right, other times he got it wrong. But the thing that I love about Peter was he was never afraid to step out. He's the same guy that stepped out the boat when nobody else would. The thing that I love about Peter is that he was always the guy to step up when somebody needed to step up. So even though, because he kind of navigated in that space of wanting to be involved, over-enthusiastic. You remember when Jesus said to him, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith fell not, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. What he was identifying for Peter is there's something in you that the enemy can get to. And until that's dealt with, I got to pray for you. That it doesn't move you out of position. And so when we go on and we see how that Peter, in his enthusiasm again, when Jesus is talking about dying and going to the cross, and all of you are going to leave me, and Peter says, I'm not going anywhere. Now, he wasn't trying to be bold or arrogant. He really meant that. I'm not going anywhere. And Jesus says, wait, hold up, Peter. Now, I just need to tell you now, you know, you're going to deny me three times. No, Lord, you're going to deny me three times. For the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And that's exactly what happened. But what I love about God is that no matter where you are, no matter where you've been, no matter how many bad decisions you've made, how many times you've failed, if you get up and you keep going, you're going to make it. I need about seven more of y'all to clap with the two that understand what I'm talking about. See, the reality is none of us are perfect. Don't ever think anybody you see on any television program, no matter how big their congregation is, they're there because they're perfect.
That's right. Come on, that's right.
That's why, so when you look in social media and you hear about different people and they're blasting them, you know what? If the curtain was pulled back on everybody, it'd be a sad day somewhere. But God says, I know you. I've already made a way for you. I've already made provision for you. Quit discounting yourself. When Peter heard that cock crow, he thought he was done. That's why when Jesus said the disciples and Peter, he gave a special invitation. Get Peter. I need Peter. Why? Because I gave him a word that I'm yet going to fulfill. And the reason why I know I can fulfill that word, because I'm the guy that prayed for him to fulfill that word. That's the way Jesus is praying for you and I. And so they bring Peter. Peter denied Christ three times. Christ asked him three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? I believe every time he asked him that, it washed away some of that shame. Every time he asked him, it washed away some of the guilt. He denied him three times. He pulled him in three times. Do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Do you love me? Yes, Lord. You know I love you. Do you love me, Peter? Lord, you know all things. And I believe he just washed all of that off of him and pulled him right back in. And we see that when we get to the book of Acts, because on that day, the day of Pentecost, when it says there were over 3,000 from all over the world that had assembled, and they were saying, these men are they're drunk men. Who was it that stood up? It was Peter. And Peter began to wax eloquent. He began to share the word of God. He says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he began to speak that. And then in the midst of it, after it got done, they were like, well, what do we need to do to be saved? Then after that, we see Peter over and over again in his journey. He's the one that steps out. Peter and John at Gate Beautiful. Who's the guy that talked? It was Peter. Hey, I ain't got any money, but such as I have, give it to you. Get up in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. God used him in establishing the early church. So in Peter's journey, over and over, he had to find these places of repentance, changing his mind, changing his thinking. Now, hear me when I tell you this. Some of the changes you need to make is the way you think about yourself. That's where you need to repent. The way you think about yourself. See, if you live in the space that you think that you've done so many things that God can never use you, you don't understand the grace of God, you don't understand the mercy of God, you don't understand the redemption of God, at least you don't understand the love of God. I'm just speaking it out to you. Just look at me, just look at me, because I saw you, I felt the connection. It's good, it's good, it's good. That's why at some point you've got to be able to say, God loves me. God loves me. And I need to love myself. God loves me. Now I need to love myself. God loves me. Now I need to love myself. He doesn't look at you, try to add up things as to what your life has been and where it is now, and then decide, does he love you? He just loves us. And so God sovereignly, already knowing what he purposed to do through Peter once again. But when he comes to Peter, he's saying, let me show you something. And he comes to Peter in a dream. And when he comes to him, the challenge is that Peter now is he's navigating through what he's known, what his custom has been, what the law has been. Now on the other side of Calvary now, grace and what it means now. And what we see in it, and the reason why I'm making this clear for us, is that in this season that we find ourselves, okay, man, this thing keeps, okay, we're good. I got it, thank you, I'm good. It just went black on me, that's all. Here again is where it says this, concerning this year, it says that prepare your heart not to be surprised with the speed and intensity of the changes. Do not panic. You are only being raised to another level. You are being introduced to another station, to another dimension of the spirit, a new cycle, says the Lord. Prepare your heart not to be surprised with the speed and the intensity of the changes. Because you see, in this chapter 9 with Peter, chapter 10, Peter now is being called on by God because there's a man named Cornelius who is praying. It says he's a devout man, but he's a Gentile. It says that he takes care of the poor. But his whole household, family, servants honor God. And God sovereignly, in this instance, says, I'm going to bring salvation now to the Gentiles. Who's the guy? Peter. But the challenge is that when God comes to him, shows him a dream, and in the dream, the analogy of all different kind of animals and things that customarily, by the law, they were not supposed to eat, and he tells him to eat. He says, God forbid. In our term, we would say, devil, you a liar. This is a nightmare, not a dream. He says, Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean. Now, what he doesn't know is that Cornelius has already sent guys coming to get him. I need you to hear me when I say this. In this season, hear me, God will show you something that has time factored in on it. Meaning that he's not only showing you something, he's showing somebody else something. He's talking to you and he's talking to others at the same time. And there are people who are making their way to you. There are people who are going to respond just based on your obedience. Is this making sense to you? And so he says, so Peter has this dream three times. Say three times. There's just something about Peter in threes. Denied him three times. answer Jesus three times about his love. Now, three times he has these dreams. Peter just, I guess he just needed to be in threes for him. But this is what it says concerning him. And I'm at verse 17. Now, while Peter was greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision, as to what the vision which he had seen might be. Now listen to me, because see, prepare your heart to not be surprised with the speed and intensity of the changes. Do not panic. You are only being raised to another level. You are being introduced to another station, to another dimension of spirit. Oh, God. See, he's being introduced to something that wasn't on his radar. And I want you to understand, hear me, heirs, when I talk to you. What God is setting the stage for is incredible. It is incredible. What we are sensing and feeling when we come here, listen, we're just rehearsing, y'all. This thing ain't broke out yet. Hey, this is all just part of the preparation. This is all part of the preparation, Sean. That's why we all got to get in our spot, be in our place. Be ready. Just be ready. Be ready. Be ready. Get ready. There are so many, let me tell you something. There are so many songs right now in the body of Christ with that theme. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Eye has not seen. Get ready. Ear has not heard all of the things that God has prepared for us. Get ready. Your miracle is coming. Get ready. Your healing is coming. Get ready. Deliverance is coming. Get ready. Yeah. It's in the air, Pastor Josh. It's in the air. It's in the air of the Spirit. Get ready. Something's getting ready to happen. Something's getting ready. We will not miss it. We will not miss it. Okay. I will not miss it. I will not miss it. It says, while he was pondering this, perplexed in mind as to what the vision was that he saw, what had been shown to him. Behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked directions for Simon's house, appeared at the gate. So all the while, now he's still trying to wrap his mind around it, Jerron. They're already here. They're already here. Well, Peter, what you gonna do? So the scripture says that then Peter goes and he greets them, and they tell him exactly what happened. That an angel appeared to Cornelius, told him to go get Peter. Now, Peter, at that point, the word that he received was, go with those men. Go with those men. And so when you read the rest of the text, he agrees to go with those men. When he gets there, Cornelius is there, all of the family is there, all of the servants are there, his whole household is there. And Cornelius then greets him, and Peter, still in his mind and in the traditions of the time, says, you know that it's unlawful for me to even be here. So what do you want? Cornelius says to him, shares with him why he invited him. Once he told him that, Peter was then able to make the shift. As a matter of fact, this is what Cornelius, it says, listen to this. Cornelius, Your prayer has been heard and your alms have been remembered. Now, this is what he's telling Peter. Send therefore to Joppa and invite Simon, who is called Peter, to come to you. He is staying at the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. So I sent to you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. This is Cornelius talking. Now then, we are all here present before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. Isn't that an incredible posture? He says, we're all here just waiting on what the Lord has for us. Peter says, I most certainly understand now, meaning I see it now, that God is not one to show partiality. But in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. And he began to expound on the scriptures. And it was as he expounded on the scriptures, right about the point he was about, I guess he was about to get to his closing, it says the Holy Ghost just fell. Right in the middle of his talking. No invitation. How many of you want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost? How many of you want to be baptized? No. All while he's talking, God comes in. And everybody is filled with the Spirit. How does he know? Because see, there were a couple guys that came with Peter. And they're looking like, is this real? Is this real? Is this real? Hear me. We are entering a season when we will see things and we'll say, is this real? Is this real? See, we still live in the space in our minds of reasoning. It has to make sense. But one of the things about this word that I'm talking to us about, and I'm wrapping it up now, is this. It says, prepare your heart not to be surprised with the speed and intensity of the changes. Do not panic. You are being raised to another level. You are being introduced to a new station, to another dimension of spirit, a new cycle. Glory to God. So it's in this season. I want to ask you this question, and I am ending here. So, worship team, you can come stand over here, and it'll help me to end. If y'all just stand here, where are the musicians at? In this place that we find ourselves, and George, you can come up and get ready to lead us in our giving. We can't miss the moment. We can't miss the moment. We can't miss this moment that we're in. When God has so purposed to show us things and to demonstrate his power now, like never before. He's looking in this generation saying, who can I tag now for the next leg from the past generation? For God called Abraham and said, let me show you something. Then he went to Isaac, said, let me show you something. Then he went to Jacob, said, let me show you something. He used Joseph, let me show you something. Joseph was a dreamer. And you walk all the way down through the generations and you see God posing that invitation, let me show you something. I want to say to you, there comes a point where if you will have that level of sensitivity, then you will be able to see, sense, and know that this is what your life is about. This is part of your assignment. There is continuity in God. There are generations from generations. His covenant, his blessings are to the third, fourth, the tenth generation, just generation after generation after generation after generation. And listen to me, and you and I would be prudent to be able to look and to know, what am I passing on and who am I passing it on to? Who will carry on my legacy? Who will carry on my work? One of the things that connected Pastor Josh and I is that he was looking for someone who would carry on the work. He could have sold this building. He told me, I could sell the building. But I don't want to give up on what he's shown me. I've taken it my leg. Maybe you're the guy to take the next leg. And at some point, you begin to think that way. You begin to process that way. You begin to extend your faith that way. So I found myself thinking this on last night. What is it that God wants to show you that's part of his word spoken to past generations, now ready to be fulfilled in your lifetime? See, that makes it a whole lot bigger, Lashana. And it also, hear me now, it should stir in you some level of accountability and responsibility. That's why, Jerron, you had a father who preached. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Daddy took it as far as he could. I'm the next one. What is it that God wants to show you that's part of his word spoken to past generations, now ready to be fulfilled in your lifetime? See, if you can begin to press in to that place, it'll help you have a greater sensitivity and appreciation for the significance of your life. It doesn't matter. Oh, God, it doesn't matter how you got here. It's that you're here. And you have to be able to say, Philip, God, what do you want to show me now? What do you want to show me now? And you've got to be able to work through all the muck and all the mire and all the failures and all the disappointments and all the challenging decisions. You've got to be able to work through all of that in order to stay on point with what God is saying and what God is doing. So I ask you again, what is it that God wants to show you that's part of his word spoken to you, spoken to past generations, now ready to be fulfilled in your lifetime? What is it that God wants to show you so you can pass it on to be fulfilled in future generations? What is it that God wants to show you so that you can pass it on into future generations? Because he's still saying, let me show you something. Let me show you something. By God's grace, all of our children are walking with the Lord. Take no credit for it. But I am their father. There is the stewardship of our lives to impact the lives of others. I did ask y'all to stand there, didn't I? Y'all doing good. This is a year of many changes. Changes that will help you advance in the destiny and purpose that I have called you. Now, this is year of change. You must be quick to adapt to the new conditions that are established during each moment of your walk. This is necessary for you to reach and fulfill your call. There will be moments when the movements will seem abrupt to you. Don't be afraid. I am in control of everything, and I know what I am doing. You must prepare to change course. This will imply new conditions, new relationships, new challenges. All this you will feel that at the beginning, you have difficulty to locate you. But I reiterate to you, I will be with you. Quickly, 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 quickly. The place of stability is in Him. Hear me. The place of stability is in Him. He is our stability. He is our rock. Your place of stability is in the kingdom. It is an unshakable kingdom. But everything around you may be moving. But you and I must adapt, and we must adapt quickly. You must learn the lessons. Hear me now. You must learn the lessons that come your way. Don't turn away from it. Look at it. Mm-hmm. Look at it until you learn what you're supposed to get out of it. So often as believers, we someone say, God, if you just take care, I ain't even looking. God, just take care of it. No, you need to look at this, and you need to see how I handle it. Because the next time, you're going to have to handle it. Watch how I do it. Under forced rhythms of grace. No, you need to get your eyes on this. That's why when it says in 2 Chronicles 20 with Jehoshaphat, he says, listen, you're not going to have to fight in the battle, but you are going to have to go see it. You're not going to have to fight, but you have to see it, because you need to see what I can do. You need to see what I've done. How many of you can say, I know a thing or two? Because I've seen a thing or two.